All right. If you have Matthew with you, I'd encourage you to open it up, either in your Bible or on your electronic device. I don't know if you saw recently there was an editorial in the Republic where somebody was ranting about having been at church and how they were horrified that someone in front of them, when it was time to read the scripture, got out a Kindle and read it from a Kindle. And it's like, you know, some things just are too sacred for a Kindle. I don't know what it was. But anyway, so however you get to it, it's good to have it with you. Matthew 13 is what we're looking at, and I wanted to just give you a little background on it. The first time that this parable was told, if you can imagine in your mind, was probably using an example of something that Jesus could have just pointed to over his shoulder. You know, for those of us that had the privilege of being in Israel in the Galilee this couple months ago, I mean, it's very clear that in the Galilee, it's still a very agrarian kind of place. And it really makes some of the parables pop when you think that Jesus would be sitting out on a boat and the crowd be around and you could just look up on the shore and you could see examples of this or that or the other thing. And Jesus used object lessons very effectively. And this is one of those object lessons. It was probably a farmer that was out spreading seed and there were birds following behind the sower in a big flock, you know, like you see fishing boats out with seagulls following them. You know, you just have some of those iconic images, in my mind at least. In Matthew, the story is told as the first of several parables that are just told, bam, 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 all about the beginnings and how small the beginnings of the kingdom are. With a lot of seed imagery, you might recognize some of the other stories. The mustard seed, right? The weed and the wheats story. Those are all just following right on from this one. But while those all have to do specifically with things that grow and the plant itself, this one is the only one that has to do primarily with the soil. And so let's hear this passage from Matthew, as if you haven't got it down pat already.
At about that same time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd had gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as a pulpit, he addressed his congregation, telling stories. What do you make of this? A farmer planted seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road, and birds ate it. Some fell on the gravel. It sprouted quickly, but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. Some fell in the weeds. As it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Are you listening to this? Really listening? Study this story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface, and so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. This is the seed the farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast in the gravel. This is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there is no soil of character, and so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the news, and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Let's pray. Loving Spirit, we are grateful for these words of wisdom from so long ago. May they not just be words on a page, but may they be words that work their way into our hearts and into our minds, so that none of us might leave this place unchanged. We gather as followers of Jesus. Amen. Some of you know that I was trained as a teacher. That's really where my heart is, especially with younger kids, with elementary school age kids. And I know from having worked with a lot of teachers over the years that sometimes we can get a little overzealous in making sure that our kids don't miss the point and that they are learning. I remember the story of one teacher who was doing a lesson, doing a series on helping kids understand how plants grew. And so, you know, they got the little styrofoam cups and they put the dirt in it and they had a little sign on a toothpick with the kid's name on it and everything, and they were all given seeds to plant. So they planted their seeds and they watered them every day religiously. You know, they were waiting with, you know, anticipation for the first ones to come up. It was all exciting. Now, this teacher was no dummy. And so she had done this before, and so she went ahead and planted a half a dozen other cups, right? And kind of kept them off to the side with no names on them, just in case some of the other kids' plants did not actually sprout. She could just kind of, you know, slip a few in there. So sure enough, a few of them did not sprout. And so the teacher, you know, one evening just kind of switched out a couple of the cups with ones that were starting to sprout. Well, the next morning, one of the little boys just went crazy and was like, "Teacher, teacher, it's a miracle!" And he was jumping up and down and was so excited. And she was like trying to calm down and says, "Yes, it is. I mean, when you plant a seed and a plant actually sprouts, it is a miracle, isn't it?" And he said, "No, that's not the miracle. I ate the seed you gave me, but it's still sprouting." Well, one of the things that I like about this parable is that there is no miracle in it. There's no grand leap of faith. There's just a simple observation about the way the world is. Right? And I'll tell you a secret. It's not even original to Jesus. Nearly 400 years before Jesus, Plato wrote the following: "People are like dirt. They can either nourish you and help you grow as a person, or they can stunt your growth and make you wilt and die." Does that sound familiar? Is Jesus channeling Plato a little bit? I don't know. Did he know Plato? I don't know. Sounds like it might have been kind of a vibe that was out there. Basically, Jesus and Plato are calling us dirt. You're just a bunch of dirt. But that's really okay, because that's all any of us can really claim to be. It's biblical. I mean, if you look back at the second creation story, when God took up the dust, the dirt, we returned to dust, and God took the dust and breathed into it, right? The ruach, and animated. I mean, that's what we are. We are spirit-animated dirt, right? And if you know, looking back on your Hebrew, Adam is earth creature, right? And Ha-Adam is the earth. And Adama is the earth creature of blood, right? And for those of you that are Battlestar Galactica fans, right? Admiral Adama is the earth creature. Isn't that cool? Good writing in that show. Okay, so anyway, but that's what we are, is we are Adama. We are all earth that is animated by the Spirit. Dust that's good for planting. Now, today's parable has the reputation of being skewed for different purposes. Some use it and say that it's about evangelism. And they really focus on the farmer and say, "You all are supposed to be like the farmer. You're supposed to keep spreading the word. And it doesn't matter if, you know, people don't hear you. You're supposed to just get in their face and keep shoving seeds down their throat," right? That's the way I've heard it used before. It's even called the parable of the sower. But it's not about the sower. What's it about? The soil, the dirt. It's about the soil. And often people think about this parable and assume that Jesus is talking about four different people. Four different people. And that can kind of be a cop-out, because we get comfortable and say, "Yeah, guess who I am," right? Who are we? We're the good soil, aren't we? I mean, we're here, aren't we? I'm sitting right here in church. I'm receptive. I'm open. I'm so good, right? Don't deny it. That's what you're thinking, you good soil out there. But here's the rub. The whole thing is about you. It's about me. It's about all of us. Because each of us embodies all four of those soils, depending on our prejudices, our experiences, our weaknesses. The path. When we're in the midst of difficulty in life, if it's heartbreak or disappointment or betrayal or anxiety about our health, whatever, our soil has been hardened by hurt, by anxiety, and so the Spirit has difficulty penetrating. I can't tell you how many times I deal with families, with individuals who will get angry about, you know, maybe a loved one dying. I hate God because so-and-so died. Well, it's like, who doesn't? I mean, it's one of those things that when people get angry because of things that happen that are a natural part of life, I mean, that's when I see people hardening up and not being faithful to the reality of the world. Then if the seed falls among our rocky soil or a thin layer of soil that's over bedrock, you know, I don't know, have any of you tried to plant a garden around here? You know, I'm not quite sure in Fountain Hills so much, but I know in the valley, when Laura and I bought a house in Greyhawk, there's a layer here in the valley called caliche, right? For those of you that are gardeners or longtime landscapers, you know you hate this layer of soil. It is natural concrete. And in order to actually plant anything, when we were planting the garden at Greyhawk, I literally had to rent a jackhammer to get through it. And it was only, I was lucky, it was only about that thick. And one of the things I discovered, having never used a jackhammer before, is once you get a 95-pound jackhammer through the ground, you have to actually be able to get it back out again. That was difficult. And ask Laura to tell you the story about when I got her a pickaxe as a birthday present when she was, what, 5, 6 months pregnant? Yeah. So it was like, oh yeah, she'll be able to use that. So anyway, so the soil has a lot to do with whether you can become disappointed or not. You know, this soil is all about shallowness. And it's a shallowness that our culture promotes, and it's become really the norm. Whatever captures our interest for the moment, whatever the media is pushing for this immediate news cycle, is what will set our tone, our way of thinking, our mood for the day. Unfortunately, that's a lot to do with our spiritual lives as well. It's one of two things. Early enthusiasm that then kind of cools off to sentimentality or disinterest. It's kind of like going to the gym, getting a membership at the gym for your New Year's resolution, and then ending up never going to the gym. Of course, none of us have ever done that. But folks continue to be enthusiastic over things that Jesus would be shaking his head at in disbelief. Contrary to popular belief, Christianity is not about getting to heaven or being damned to hell. It's about living a life of service in humility and grace. But many Christians make their whole faith about what they need to do to get into heaven. And that's pretty thin soil. Among the thorns, when worries and distractions seem to choke out the joy in our lives, Jesus is pretty harsh in this passage. He says it's either kingdom seed or it's weed seed, nothing else. And he puts career, courtship, marriage, and family in the category of cares of the world that will strangle the kingdom seed. So we've got to be careful that those things don't overwhelm us and choke out the kingdom. And that's not to mention just plain evil intent. There are just some mean people in the world. And it makes it very difficult sometimes to try and do the right thing because there are some people that just seem intent on making life difficult. And finally, there's the good soil. This is what we are all tempted to relate to. But the reality is, we are seldom the good soil. More often than not, we're one of the other three, or all three at the same time. We're hard-headed, were distracted. Maybe I should say myself. I'll use I language. I'm hard-headed. I'm distracted. And I'm trying to bear up under all the things that life throws at me. Right? Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the way it is. And there's not a lot of room sometimes for the smallest of those seeds. But the good news of this parable is often missed, which is that the sower keeps on sowing. When the parable ends, the sower is still sowing. And it's still coming, and it's coming, and it's coming. And when folks become aware enough of the divine to review their spiritual journey a bit, when you look back on your life and you think about all the things that have changed, you almost always begin to recall encounters with seeds that at that time seemed no big deal. But you look back now and you go, wow, without that, I mean, my life wouldn't be where it is. For me, I look back and I think it was one of those youth Sundays at Central Methodist where I grew up. And I had preached at one of the youth services. And maybe I was 15 or something like that. And a woman who I did not know came up to me after the service, and she said, wow, have you ever thought about being a pastor? And I said, no. And she said, good. No, she didn't really say that. Or maybe you can relate to the great theologian Stephen Wright. Do you know him? He said, I planted some bird seed, and a bird grew, and now I don't know what to feed it. You know, we had a great time at our Wednesday Wonderworks. We had a seed spitting contest. Not the easiest thing to do without embarrassing. I have some photographs of Beth Dyer spitting seeds that I think we're going to make some money off of. I'm not going to show them. I'm just telling you. We also planted some seeds right out there. Watch for the nasturtiums that are going to be growing right out there in the, what's that? And watermelon as well. We planted watermelon seeds. So, Austin, please do not pluck up the watermelon plants. And then also we did the melodrama as well. So we had a really good time. We watched a couple of different versions of the parable on video, and one that took me way back to the 1970s was the Godspell version. Do you remember that one? It just kind of rewound me back 30 years. And seeing that we're, you know, some of us are wearing tie-dye at least, here is the version of Godspell telling this same story.
Right here. A sower went to sow some seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the footpath, where it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some seed fell on rock, and after coming up,
growl, 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 oh, oh,
withered for lack of moisture.
Oh, my.
And some seed fell in among the weeds. And the weeds grew up with it and choked it. And some seed fell into good soil.
Good soil? Come on.
Where it grew and it yielded 100-fold.
Do you know what the seed is?
A baby.
Wrong. The seed is the word of God. And that seed, which fell along the footpath, represents those who hear the word. But then the devil comes and carries them off for fear they should believe and be saved.
Ha ha. Aye.
And that which fell upon rock, they receive the word with joy when they first hear it, but they have no root. And so in time of testing, they desert.
Bye.
See ya. And that which fell among weeds, they hear the word, but their further growth is impaired by wealth and cares and the pleasures of the world. They bring nothing to fruit.
No fruit, Robin.
But that which fell among good soil. Hey, good soil! Good soil. They hear the word with a good and honest heart, and through their perseverance, yield a harvest.
I gotta tell you, that is so campy now, I cannot believe that it created such a stir when it came out. The bottom line is that we shouldn't be seduced into thinking that just because we're here at church, that we're good soil. But instead be reminded that we need to be rooting out the places that are resistant to new seed. Our culture, our prejudices, our expectations of the way things ought to be. Theodore Roosevelt is purported to have said, "Keep your feet on the ground, but your eyes on the stars." And I think that maybe Thomas More's quote gets a little bit closer to the sentiment, seeing that this is Pentecost Sunday, and that's our stream of thought. A piece of the sky and a chunk of the earth lie lodged in the heart of every human being. So the question is, with a piece of sky and a chunk of the earth lodged right here for each of us, what are you going to grow? Are you paying attention enough to what is being sown in your heart to respond? A long time ago, when Morse code was the way that we communicated with one another, a young man came into the telegraph office to apply for a job that had been posted in the newspaper. When he arrived, he was disappointed to see that the waiting area was full of a couple of dozen of other applicants who looked like they'd been there a long time and were very fretful about what was going on. And they were sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And he came in, and someone at the front desk gave him an application and said, "Fill this application in and wait, and we'll see about the interview." So as he's sitting there filling out the application, all of a sudden he sits up and he looks around at all these other applicants there, you know, and the room is full of all kinds of noise of Morse code and all that going on in the telegraph office. And he stands up and he walks right through into the office, closes the door. Well, a few minutes later, the manager of that office opens the door and looks out at all the other applicants and says, "Thank you all for coming today, but the job is now filled." And they say, "What? What's going on?" He said, "Well, that young man just got the job." And they said, "Well, we've been here longer than he has. He didn't even turn in his application." And there was just all sorts of excitement going on there. And the manager of the telegraph office said, "Yes, but if you would have been listening, you would have heard in the background the Morse code tapping out, 'If you understand this, you've got the job. Come right in.'" The Spirit is patiently, relentlessly tapping out a message to us, is sowing seeds in our hearts day in and day out, despite our hardness of heart and distractions of life. The seeds keep coming, and the sower keeps sowing. And by the grace of God and the love of Christ, we will bear the good news that the kingdom of God is here and now, and that we have the gifts to make it real in the world. I want to close for just a second by having you think about something. What came to mind today during our time together? Maybe during the melodrama or the video? Maybe it was a seed that has been planted by someone in your life that you are grateful for, that you haven't thought about in a long time. Maybe it's a seed that you're being called to plant in someone else's life that only you can plant. Maybe it's a seed that the Spirit has planted in you, but you're resisting letting it sprout. You have something in mind? Turn around to one of your neighbors or someone nearby, preferably someone that you didn't come with. Introduce yourself and share with them briefly something that came to mind in that regard during the time together today. Ready? Go.